Oh gosh, thank you so much. Good evening, everyone, and thank you, Kim, so much for your share. Whew, what a journey, and what a journey we've all been on. So I'm a very grateful member of Al-Anon, and I'd like to thank you very much for allowing me to share my experience, strength, and hope with you this evening. I really appreciate the opportunity, and it truly is my privilege. I'd also like to extend a special and warm welcome to any newcomers that might be here. I hope you'll hear something in my share that resonates with you. I'd like to suggest that you continue to attend Al-Anon meetings, because if you don't hear anything from my share tonight, I promise you will hear something at a meeting, or you'll meet someone who will touch you. Al-Anon is an amazing program, and it has impacted every area, every facet of my life, and I'm so grateful. So I'm going to do something a little unconventional right now. So if you'll just bear with me 2 seconds.
Why do I let myself worry?
Isn't she just the best? I love Patsy Cline. She's old school fabulous. And you know, Willie Nelson wrote that song. I had no idea, but I'm wondering if anyone else can relate to the crazies and the worry. Because boy, do I worry. I've worried my whole life. I still worry. I'm sure I'll always worry. And do I get crazy? Boy, do I get crazy. But what's helped me with my worry and acknowledging my worry and my crazy and realizing it is learning and leaning into Al-Anon. As I mentioned, I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon, and I can't imagine my life without it. First, a little bit about my experience. So I grew up in a very loving family. My mom and dad, Gerald and Vivian, just wonderful. They were very demonstrative in their love to each other. I can remember before my dad died, you know, my mom and dad would sit on the couch next to each other holding hands. They were very demonstrative with me and also with my brothers. We were a really close family. The six of us ate dinner every night at 6 p.m. My father would read to us. We didn't have a TV until I was 16. We had a lot of fun in my family. And I'm so grateful for my childhood. There was no alcohol in my childhood or in our home, really. But, you know, there were six people living together. And so we certainly had our ups and downs. You know, it wasn't Ozzie and Harriet. It wasn't that. But I just had a really lovely, lovely childhood. And honestly, I think one of the finest gift I've ever received is the love from my mom and dad. I believe that it's what developed in me the whole my glasses half full perspective of my life, is because my parents loved me so much. And so I'm very proud to be Gerald and Vivian's daughter. I met my husband 30 years ago, which, my, how time flies, just crazy. He swept me off my feet. He was living in the Bay Area here, and I was living in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and we did a long distance romance for 3 years. And really interestingly, right kind of off the bat, he told me he was an alcoholic. And I didn't know what that meant. I had no idea. He wasn't on Skid Row. He had a very successful company. He was charming. He was funny. He was generous. He loved me. I just had no idea what that meant, and he didn't meet the definition that I had of alcoholism. So really, for about the first 17 years of our relationship, there were no DUIs, there was no public drunkenness, there was no major consequences from my husband's drinking. Although that changed starting in July 2009, when my husband's liver started to fail him. And it was a crazy time. It ended up that he had a live liver transplant, and our nephew was a match, and it was an incredible experience. And not without lots of heart-stopping health issues. He went into, had a severe reaction to some of the anti-rejection medication and was in the ICU. They didn't think he was going to live. Anyway, lots of stuff and lots of health issues with that. And I'm happy to say also, actually, I'm not happy to say this, but after about 2 years after his liver transplant, he did start to relapse and relapsed for about 3 years. And I'm telling you, that was when my Al-Anon program really kicked in. That was really, really difficult to go through that. And but I am happy to say, though, he did celebrate his 5 years of sobriety this last December. So that's marvelous. And I want to share, too, that at the same time that my husband was in liver failure and we were in the throes of, you know, everything going on there, my mom, my beloved mother, was diagnosed terminally with cancer. And she, that was really hard. My brothers and I rotated every 10 days, taking care of her 24/7. One of us was with her every 10 days. And then the other time that I wasn't with my mom, I was caretaking for my husband and helping him. It was an incredibly tense, intense time for me. And then last August, he was diagnosed with a very rare and very aggressive salivary gland cancer and underwent very in-depth cancer treatment for that and finished that up with radiation in the end of December. And I can tell you that was no fun. And then a month later, after he finished the radiation, he fell and fractured his ankle very severely. And for the last 2 months has been in either a hospital or a nursing home, and only just came home 2 weeks ago. So, once again, when I was so worried about my husband, I thought for sure he was going to have a heart attack, didn't think about the liver at all. But the health consequences, I believe, of the alcoholism have just been overwhelming. I mean, obviously not the cancer. They don't know what causes this particular cancer. And they had said it definitely doesn't have anything to do with alcoholism. But some of the other health issues that he's experienced, really, it's been very difficult. And so I also want to give a shout out to any caregivers out there, because boy, it is hard to dedicate your life to someone like that. So now I'd like to share a little bit about my strength. And for me, the strength that I gather comes from the tools of the Al-Anon program. And here are a few of my favorites. One, of course, is a very strong, and developed concept of a higher power. When I first started out in Al-Anon, I had, you know, maybe four or five. My higher power is strong. My higher power is loving. And now, after I've been in program for a while, I describe my higher power as laughter, sparkling, visionary, and all of those other things as well. So my higher power is certainly evolving, and I hope continues to evolve for the rest of my time in Al-Anon, which will be for the rest of my life. Another critical piece of my strength comes from my sponsor. This woman who I, I met a few times at a meeting. I heard what she had to say, and I thought, wow, she clearly understands the program, and I want what she has. And I want to tell you that this woman, the poor thing, she probably should have run away when I asked her, but she didn't, thankfully. She was by my side the whole time with my husband and my mom, and literally at the hospital with me, by my side, when my husband had his liver transplant. So this person who I didn't know from Adam just opened her heart and opened her wings and held me, and has been just a phenomenal guide here in Al-Anon. The steps, I also gained a tremendous amount of strength from the steps. I love the steps. I will tell you, it took me 5 years to get through them. So if you're languishing with the steps, or, you know, beating yourself up perhaps that you feel like you should be farther along, take it from me. There are no musts in Al-Anon. 5 years, it took what it took. And I'm so grateful that I did that. Another key piece of my strength comes from my gratitude, and I have really worked towards developing my gratitude. In fact, I have three of my wonderful little gratitude friends here tonight. We text each other daily about gratitude and what we're grateful for. And, for me, I feel that gratitude really is a cornerstone of my Al-Anon program. When I start to have negative thoughts and feel poorly and want to not just get into the pity pool, but dive right into the pity pool, I start thinking to myself, nope, I don't want to go there. Sometimes I do, of course. I mean, I'm human. And sometimes life just gets overwhelming for me, and I do go there. But for the most part, I really try to rely on my gratitude. Meditation, I also do a lot of meditation. Oh, I go to meetings. I love going to Al-Anon meetings. Journaling, I get a lot of strength from journaling. Just writing it down and getting it out of my head when I've got the Patsy Cline crazy going and the worry, that helps immensely. And I love reasoning things out with someone else. It's one of my favorite things to do. I've learned the hard way. I don't really talk much about what's going on in my life with anyone who's not in Al-Anon, because people give you wacky suggestions and they try to fix the problem. And I try to fix problems too, but I don't want anybody to fix my problem. Most of the time, I just want someone to listen and maybe share their experience, strength, and hope. The slogans, like let go and let God right now are my is my slogan. As soon as that crazy thinking starts, I just say, let go and let God, let go and let God. And prayer is also another one of my tools that I use to gain strength and Al-Anon, and specifically the Serenity Prayer. So I want to share a little bit about, you know, with the Serenity Prayer, that courage to change the things I can. You know, I often think to myself, wow, what can I do? And so something happened for me back in September 2018. It was September 5th. And it was, I woke up at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I just knew I needed to make a change. I needed some time away from my husband. I had thought about, should I stay or should I go? For years, months, years, I had thought about it. And just, you know, my sponsor would say, you'll know when you know. And that morning on September 5th, I woke up and I just knew I needed some space, but I didn't know how, where to go, what to do, nothing. And then that still voice spoke to me and said, what about an Airbnb? And I thought, oh my gosh, why don't I look and see if I can find an Airbnb to move into just for a month or 2 months, just to give myself a little bit of space and give my husband some space too. I hopped on the app and I found the perfect place. In fact, I call it the jewel box. It was perfection. I messaged the person who was listed there and thinking I'll hear from her in a day or two. 5 minutes later, she pinged me back. And I thought, wow, what's she doing up at, you know, 1:20 in the morning? Well, it turns out she lives in London. And so she and I went back and forth. We negotiated a rent. And by the 2 o'clock in the morning, an hour later, I had a 10 o'clock appointment to go see the jewel box, the rent identified that I could afford, and I could walk to work from the jewel box. It was incredible. So I, you know, got moved. I moved out. And I was away for nearly 2 years, which you could knock me over with a feather when I say that right now, even. Just really only thought I would be gone for a month, 2 months, 3 months max. But you know what? It took the time that it took. And at one point, I was feeling so lonely and I missed my husband terribly. I mean, we saw each other. We went on dates. We talked. You know, I love my husband dearly, madly. I love my husband. And but I just needed some space. And there came a point where I was working with a therapist, and she said, "Jules, I think it's time for you to go home. Why don't you go home?" And I thought, "Yeah, why don't I go home? I'm so lonely." And you know what? I realized I don't want to go home because I'm lonely. I want to go home because I cannot wait to be with my husband. And I waited another 6 months and was gone, as I say, for almost 2 years. But I went home when the time was right and when I knew in my heart that I wanted to be with my husband. And again, this is all higher power helping me, guiding me, and listening to that still voice. So now I'd like to share a little bit about my hope. And for me, steps 1, 2, and 3 are like a life raft. You know, step 1 admitted I'm powerless over alcohol. Step 2 came to believe that a power would help me. And step 3, I turned my will and my life over to that care of my higher power. And so I envision, not every day, I should do it more often. Oop, I don't want to should on myself, but every, you know, I envision my step 3, the first 3 steps as an inner tube, and it helps me bounce along in the river of life. And I'm so grateful. And again, when I get the crazies or I'm starting to overly worry, I just start reciting the 12 steps to myself. I do go to regular meetings. I love meetings. I get so much hope from listening to my fellow, people who are on this journey with me. And I love the shares. Oh my gosh. The shares also give me so much hope. Another piece that gives me hope, because it's a way for me to let go, is something that we call in Al-Anon a God box. And my sponsor had told me about this idea of a God box where you put something on a piece of paper, you write down what it is that you're trying to let go of, and you put it in a God box. And she said, look, I said, you know, I don't know, where am I going to find a God box? And she said, you will know when you see your God box, you will know that's your God box. So I thought, okay, well, I'm going to start with a God envelope because I want to find the right God box. I'm just going to start with an envelope. So that's what I did. I started putting little slips of paper in my God envelope. And by George, I did find, I should have brought it. I could have shown it to you, but I did find my God box. I love my God box. I look at it and it just gives me such joy. And it's been years since I've had my God box. But one thing that I do periodically, maybe once, maybe I've done it three times since I've had the God box, is I'll go back through and I'll read what I've written on my little sheets of paper. And, I'm nervous to do that because I'm thinking, what if it's still all happening? What if that little sheet of paper is still going on in my life? Sometimes it's too hard to take in. And so I'm nervous. But I decided in December 2020, I'm going to go ahead and read my slips of paper. So I opened up my God box. Oh, here's my camera so you can see it. And I found this little slip of paper. And let me just read it to you. It says, Dearest Higher Power. And I wrote this on December 28, 2019. And it's a bulleted list. Lots of sun, light, airy, a view, affordable, renovated, 1,800 to 2,000 square feet, one level, two-car garage, a safe area, in California. And then this last bullet, I remember writing it thinking, there's no way, but I'm just going to put it on my list, in Contra Costa County. And then I wrote, thank you, and I put a little heart on the bottom. And I have to tell you, in December 2020, we bought a home that ticked off every single item on this list, except for it's a little smaller than 1,800 square feet. I completely forgot about writing this list, completely forgot about it. And when I opened my God box and I read this list, I thought, holy cow, never ever again am I going to doubt the power of my higher power. I still can't, I mean, you know, come on, people, in this day and age, anybody, and we bought it during COVID. It's a miracle. It's a bona fide miracle. So in closing, I would like to read something from our ODAT, which is one of our daily readers from December 10th. It says, my life is a series of unfoldings, incidents, and occasions, agreeable and distressing. Each day is full of them, hour by hour, and this makes it difficult for me to take a detached view of all that is happening. I am too close. If these occurrences were like so many pieces of merchandise, groceries or dry goods, I would see them clearly, the good and bad. Looking at the incidents of my life in this way, I might be astonished to discover that the good far outweigh the bad. And yet I concentrate so heavily on my trials and burdens that I hardly give a thought to relishing the pleasant and satisfying things that happen each day. Well, after I read that, I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to look, I want to look at my groceries, my dry goods, and see what's happened. How has higher power woven and worked higher power's magic in my life? And so in August 2016, I made a decision to adopt a healthier lifestyle than what I was living. In December 2016, I quit working with my husband. We owned a business and I quit working with him. In July 2017, we sold our big home. In January 2018, I got a new job. And in September 2018, I took my marriage sabbatical. In April 2019, I got a second job. In July 2019, I listened to my inner voice to stay longer in my marriage sabbatical and not rush, which I'm so grateful that I did that. In February 2020, I did move home. And then in December 2020, we bought our home here. And we're able to do that. So when I look at that time period and those big monumental milestones that I passed, I absolutely know that higher power is with me, has always been with me, and I know will continue to be with me as long as I open my heart and my life and turn my will and my thoughts over to the care of my higher power. I know that I will have guidance from my higher power. And I'm not sure what HP has in store for me in the future, but I trust higher power. I trust Al-Anon, and I know everything's going to be okay. Thank you so much again for this opportunity this evening, and I wish you all a pleasant evening. Thank you.